WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. We've been gone for a couple weeks with the open date, and we're happy to be back and happy to be talking about a Notre Dame victory over Washington 33-7. You know, in many respects, it was. I didn't think we played all that well. Washington is maybe the worst football team I've ever seen. I mean, they're really bad. But overall, good to get a win that you don't have to worry about. No moments of stress, and we took care of business. If you have any comments on the game or on Notre Dame football in general, send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com, or go to the website and post a comment. Bram, I mean, we took care of business. What else can you say?
This is one of those games you just don't get a whole lot from it. I do think that, Clawson didn't have one of his better games, especially in the first half there. I mean, he was missing guys, throwing at people's ankles. It just didn't seem like, he was in sync. And you hope that's just a little bit of rust coming off the off week. But for the most part, overall, I mean, you can't really argue with the fact that Notre Dame went out there and took care of business. I mean, that's – Willingham has a tendency to win a huge game once a year. He seems to always do it.
Really? And, yeah.
luckily,
I guess you're right. There's always a game where he scares the hell out of somebody you're right. He does have a knack for that. But, let's talk a little bit about that. Going in, I mean, the storyline was Willingham and Do you personally, everybody's got their own take on this, but you personally, did you take satisfaction from really embarrassing them, kicking their butt, dominating them, however you want to describe it? Does that make you feel good about the whole Willingham thing, or are you in the camp of, like, who cares, let's move on? Where are you at on that?
It means nothing. I didn't see any part of that. I mean, Willingham, as an individual, is a great guy. There's all kinds of stories here in South Bend about what an awesome guy he is.
And, really? Hang on a minute. Well, I think sometimes he just gets a free pass on that. Everybody says, hey, he's a great guy. What are the stories? I mean, I live here too, just like you. What are the great Willingham stories that you know?
Well, I mean, I personally ran into him on the golf course at 6 in the morning. This is true. He was by himself. And was teeing off at 6 a.m. trying to get in quickly. Now, immediately, the first thing in my mind is, all right, coach, what are you doing out here? But it was way before the season started. And jokingly, I said, hey, coach, after he drilled one right down the middle about 300 yards, I said,
hang on a minute. Just for the listeners, I want everybody to understand that when Brammer estimates distances off the tee, it's usually exaggerated by 50 or 60 yards. At least they are in his own t-shirt.
No, I said he swung. I wasn't swinging. Uh-huh. But anyways, he hits it right down the middle, picks his clubs up, starts to head out, and I yell out, hey, coach, don't you think you're a little bit too good to have that much time on your hands to drill it 300 down the middle? And he turns around without miss a beat and says, hey, the game is not that hard. It just keeps walking. So, I thought it was kind of funny. It was a good comeback. And, I've had people, I've got friends of mine that interacted with him, and he's a nice guy. It's not like anybody had anything to say about him being, a horrible person as a head football coach. He just wasn't a very good head football coach.
And, right. Well,
for that, you can't hold it against them. Now, I didn't take any satisfaction in the way we beat them, and I don't have any animosity. I don't think anything that he did was intentional with recruiting when it came to Notre Dame football. I mean, he just wasn't a very good recruiter, and we paid the price for that, and, we're now starting to recoup from that. So,
okay, well, listen, I take a slightly different view of it. I guess that's good that we have some representation of the different camps. I don't buy the, oh, what a great guy. You don't depart from the university in the way he did and let the innuendos fester in the way he did. If you really got a lot of integrity in class, I just think he didn't get the job done. It's part of the business that people get fired. And, you walk away from that without tearing us down, knocking us down like he did. And hang on a minute. Here's one point that drives me crazy in the media. Willingham was fired, he did not get the full 5 years that in his contract. I've never seen his contract. Everybody assumes that he had the 5-year deal that is, you know, the legendary Notre Dame 5-year deal. Some of the stories that I've heard from good sources, everybody's got good sources, I know, you know, are that he had 2-3-year deals with a buyout option after the first 3-year contract. And that's what happened. So I'm not sure, you know, I thought he was treated very fairly, but didn't treat Notre Dame fairly in the way he departed. And that's why I do take satisfaction in thumping him like we did and in his 0-7 start and in you know, getting fired here. I do take satisfaction in that. I'm a small, petty person.
Yeah, well, you know, I think to his defense, I mean, I think Kevin White initiated some of that and led into that whole hype. I mean, his comments weren't exactly and I think that White paid the price for that going forward from that day forward.
Agreed. Agreed.
You know, and I just think that maybe you could argue that what Willingham should have done was immediately distance himself from that, and he didn't. He kind of let it fester, but I don't think it was all his doing. I mean, he clearly just, you know, wrote it out and let it play out to his benefit. But, you know, the idea about the contract, I mean, everybody in college football today has a guaranteed contract for X number of years. I mean, look at Rodriguez. He's there for 6 years, and no matter how dismal they are for the next 5 years, he's there, and if he ends earlier than that, they got to buy him out. So is Michigan supposed to let him have his 6 years? No. I mean, that's just part of the contract negotiation.
Of course.
Get fired in year three, you got to pay him out.
Of course. So, and that's why I find it all the poor St. Tyrone talk. You know, it is satisfying that we went out there and their program's in shambles and we took them apart. Let's talk a little bit about the game itself. You mentioned Clawson's performance. Yes, he did look out of sync, didn't he? I agree with you.
Yeah, he was. I mean, it was a little disappointing just because, but again, I mean, that maybe that's part of the off week. Who knows? And maybe that's just part of having a bad game. They just didn't seem like he was in sync. Now, I will say this. I do remember, the throw into the end zone where, Floyd kind of, I mean, he had a play on it that was kind of thrown low and to his feet. He turned around, the DB missed it, and it would have been a very tough catch. But Clawson was clearly upset going to the sideline after that throw. And I think that was supposed to be a jump ball in the end zone, in which case, if it was, it was a perfectly thrown ball.
Well, no, if we're talking about the same one, there was one I thought Floyd dropped. That it was a low one. I thought he dropped it. And there was the other one where the Washington defender really made a nice play on it. But on the one Floyd dropped, I think that's the one that Clawson, it was supposed to be a jump ball, and Floyd looked like he was positioning himself to go up for the underthrown jump ball, and the ball was off target. He still should have made the catch, I thought.
Yeah, he should have made the catch, but I think that he also beat the guy. It looked like he never made an attempt to come back around the guy to make that jump ball. I mean, at least the way that I saw it. But it clearly was, you could see some frustration on Clawson as he was walking off the field. I mean, he was not happy at all.
Let me ask you a question about Bram. You were a really good quarterback way back when. But let's talk about Clawson's personality and demeanor. I don't mind having a guy who's a little fiery, a little emotional. You know, there's two schools of thought. Joe Montana, cool, calm, collected, or a guy that's got a little piss and vinegar about him. And I don't mind Clawson's personality. You could tell when he's frustrated, when he's intense, and I think that is a good thing. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, the one thing you want out of your quarterback is confidence. And the second you get guys on the team thinking that he's not the best option there for us, that's where all kinds of problems creep in. But I think Clawson completely has control and command of the respect of the guys on the offense and for the whole team for that matter. I mean, here's a kid who, I don't know if you paid attention to this, but during the game, they threw up comparable numbers, not to Brady Quinn's sophomore season, but to Brady Quinn's senior season.
Well, that's a great point, Bram.
He is right there, so you right cannot there. Argue that.
The whole offense, obviously, pass-dominated offense, is going to mirror the quarterback's numbers. But the whole offense is producing. In fact, this whole team statistically looks a lot like the 96 team that was a BCS-caliber team. I'm not suggesting this team is. The schedule is a lot different. But there's no question that we're going in the right direction, and there's lots of good things in store. We are so ridiculously young. I mean, this is not a news flash, but sometimes I don't know. I take it for granted. When you stop and look at it, I think we have 19 guys coming back next year, and of those 19, nearly all of them are back in 2010. I mean, this is a ridiculously young team.
Yeah, it really is, and they're starting to do the things that you like to see out of these guys. Even on the play calling, I got to tell you that I'm trying to think at what point we got to around the 10-yard line with the first down, and we didn't do anything pretty or sneaky or trying to be too cute. I mean, it was just run the football in the end zone, and we did it, and it was kind of nice to see that because. You know, not that Washington, if you can't run it in against Washington, you can't run it in against anybody. But I just flat out thought that they were playing it straight up and saying, look, you guys can't stop us running. We're just going to run this thing in.
Well, that was good to see. I liked how hard the backs ran, and I want to come back to that point. But earlier in the game on third and goal from the 5, Clawson takes an 18-yard sack. And that was a really bad play. And, I'm not sure I like the call either. Sometimes I'm a throwback guy. I like the pass offense, but there's times when I do wish that on 3rd and 5 we say, hey, we're going to run it twice and pick it up. But nevertheless, the backs ran really hard. And here's a guy. I loved how James Aldrich ran. Hughes kind of did his thing. Armando Allen continued to show that speed and that burst that we've been looking for. But how about Jonas Gray, the freshman? I know it was mop-up time, but he looked like he has an extra gear.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people talking about him in practice, saying that he clearly is showing, as well as other guys on the team. I mean, I think this is the intangible that people don't realize. There is all kinds of competition going on at practice, and it's showing on the field. And, I mean, a guy like Robbie Parris, who was seeing a lot of time 2 years ago, is really fighting to get on the field. And but Jonas Gray, I mean, I really thought he looked good. I mean, that's a true freshman that he definitely seems like he's got that extra gear, and he's a competitive kid. He's a fiery kid.
The two plays he's made this year that you go, ugh, he's botched a couple kickoffs. But the way he got the ball north and south – I was very, very impressed. And your point about competition is just so right on the money. And I think this is one of the issues where Willingham's recruiting lapse really hurt us. And you begin to see it even in Weiss's first year. You know, the offensive line recruiting has been messed up since the Bob Davie. Bob Davie brought in a class that had no offensive linemen. And then Willingham followed that up a few years later. And you saw guys that did not have people pushing them from behind. And nobody at practice who was just going to knock the snot out of you, and make you better. We've turned the corner on that, I think. Think about the running back situation next year. A couple highly touted freshmen coming in. There's going to be the Sierra Wood kid, if he's as good as everybody says. You add Jonas Gray into the mix and Sierra Wood, and then Allen, Hughes, Aldridge. Those are 5 frontline guys. You know, the competitions, it always makes you better.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There, and even at wide receiver, I mean, Weiss even made a comment himself that, what if so-and-so goes down or you're missing a wide receiver? And he said, look, this Goodman kid coming in, I have no problem whatsoever, and we wouldn't miss a beat. So,
Deion Walker. He said Deion Walker is a guy who really has stepped up.
Yeah, and I mean, just to be able to say that with some confidence, it tells you that these guys are obviously making some plays in practice that are wowing people.
Right. In the past, when you've had freshmen playing and freshmen behind them, or sophomores playing with freshmen behind them, like last year is a great example. How much competition and pressure is there really for you to take your game to the next level when the guy behind you is still trying to figure it out too? So I don't think we can overstate the importance of depth for the program in so many ways. Now, let's talk a little bit about the defensive performance. Statistically, completely dominant.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I was a little bit surprised that we're even that dominant. I know Washington's not very good, but they really played well. And, you just can't argue with the effort that they gave. The touchdown that was given up, we had our subs in there, second stringers. But the reality of the matter is, I mean, at every facet of the game, they just absolutely controlled it. And, there's just nothing you can say about that game.
Yeah, I liked that we were very physical. I mean, there were a few drop passes. Washington's terrible. But, you know, we flew to the football and hit people. And that's what you have to look for in a game like that is, you know, effort. Are you physical? And I thought we were on all fronts. It was good to have a good statistical game, too, just in the perceptual wars that take place. You know, it's important that we have a top 50, top 40 defense as we're building towards next year. And let's just take a few moments. Brandon Walker, let's give him some credit. It's great to see him go 2 for 2 in field goals, including a 40-yard plus one. Guy's got a lot of leg, and maybe the competition behind him with the walk-on kid is rougher is paying dividends there. But I think we're at the point now where we can project a little bit down the road and say, okay, what kind of bowl game are we looking at now that we were sitting 5-2 and you've got some easier games ahead? And that's a conversation that we're going to pick up tomorrow with another edition of Dome and Domer. But until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. Send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. For Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.